Hey Pod, we're back.
We're back has never been more like
powerful.
Poignant as Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett did say.
Lord have mercy on us all. We are back. It is a new year. new consistent schedule ? We don't know about that one. It's a little it's a prescription we cannot make at this point in time. However, we are here now, and we are so excited to bring you Eat the Rich Part 2, long-awaited.
we say that like it's like Avengers Endgame or like Breaking
Dawn.
Like
important.
Breaking Dawn Part 2. Like there's there's like a build-up.
People are like waiting for this.
Mm-hmm.
This
is... People have countdowns on their phones just like waiting for...
Getting notifications.
That is true.
So before we jump into the episode, we did want to catch you guys up on like some of the things that we've been into in the last 4 months since we...
Life and things.
Yeah. So, Blake, would you like to go first?
I survived.
I don't think this podcast will survive.
That was really ironic. The funniest thing about that to me was... The fact that it happened. I think we're gonna have to resist.
No, it was so fun.
It was fun. Maybe move these desks just a bit closer. I believe we'll be editing this out. Or maybe it's fun. You know, we'll listen back.
Maybe the loud thud is like, you know.
Maybe the loud fun was like a fun thing.
Yeah. Just keeping you guys on your toes. What, you got scared by that?
There was a jump scare. If you're listening to this in your car, we definitely just put you in danger.
Yeah.
So that's, you know what, that's a pretty great metaphor for my life right now, actually. Just like, I'm just like, I survived!
I might be in danger.
I survived, followed by the most dramatic thud you've ever heard. yeah, we did survive, though. I survived my first nor'easter out east.
Yes, you did.
Which was pretty cool. Snow removal there is unparalleled, I will say.
Really?
They're plowing before there's snow on the ground.
Wow.
And then they don't stop until...
We plow, like, after.
We plow?
Sometimes, I guess.
We conjugate that verb. It's not just an idea. It's not just, like, to plow. Anyways, so yeah, that's what I've been doing. Doing lots of reading. Right now I'm reading A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. Great book. Would recommend. My dog is barking. Little kitty cat. And I'm also reading...
Your dog is barking, little kitty cat?
I call him little kitty cat.
Don't judge.
Don't judge, yeah. I'm also reading Begin Again by Eddie Glaude. That's a good book. Learning lots about James Baldwin. And yeah, that's my life. Catherine, what's good with you?
Yeah. You know, I've survived the first semester of my senior year.
Mm.
Little crazy, I guess. I've honestly had senioritis since sophomore year. I'm not even lying to you. Like, everybody knows this. Like, anybody that knows me can attest to the fact that school, just not a thing I do often, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of there. So it's interesting to see, like, my actual last semester, how this is gonna go. But, you know, I can't complain. Stuff has actually been pretty good, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you reading?
What am I reading? Okay, I'm reading two books right now. I'm almost done with a book called The Right to Be Lazy, which we were supposed to read in, like, my political circles as, like, a book club type of thing. I don't think anybody did that. But I'm almost done with it. It was pretty good. It talks a lot about, like, modern day... labor markets and how, like, this work culture has, like, seeped into everything that we do, like, this huge, like, productivity thing. So that was really interesting. And then I'm also reading a book by an Austrian economist named Hayek, which, if you're familiar with, like, political economy or whatever,
only
you just rolled
only,
your eyes.
Only to make conversation. I'm kidding.
Yeah. You just rolled your eyes when you heard Hayek. He's like... He's a capitalist, what can I say? But I'm going to read...
That fits really well in this episode, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to read this book, look into his economic calculations, and see what there is to debunk. Because he, like, essentially tries to debunk the entirety of, like, socialism and anti-capitalist theory. So let's see if I can solve the economic calculation problem or not. We'll find out.
Isn't that cute? Okay. And we did not forget. It's been a while since we've done this, but we haven't forgotten. We do have a quote every episode, and mine today, we are recording this on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so it seems fitting that we quote the American minister himself. And for this one, I chose one that's especially poignant, again, as Justice Amy Coney Barrett would say. The quote I've chosen from Dr. King is, "A riot is the language of the unheard."
Jesus.
Because that could not be more topical right now, you know? People proclaiming...
The coup episode is incoming,
by the way. It's coming soon.
This is just... We needed to get this out of the way first.
A lot of talk about riots.
Political violence, justifiable, not justifiable.
So, the irony is we're seeing a lot of people say that conservative voices are being silenced, but we're seeing a lot of people... Have you seen that Lisa Kudrow video?
I don't think I have.
So it's like maybe 2 minutes of just Lisa Kudrow saying conservative voices are being silenced in different mediums.
So true.
Media.
I wish. God.
She goes on Fox, she goes, "You know, conservative voices are being silenced." She goes on Facebook, "You know, conservative..." You know, if
they're so loud for people that are supposed to be so silent.
They're like, Christ. They took Parler. Parler. Anyways, so yeah, let's take this time to consider like what has led to a riot, what has not led to a riot, and let's think about the riot that Catherine's going to be talking about us about today.
Yes, let's do it.
So yeah, should we get started?
Yeah, let's jump into it.
I think here I say something every episode.
Oh yes.
And I believe it goes something like, "So grab your snacks, relax, and enjoy his story time."
Yeah.
I forgot to say welcome to his story time with historical precedent, but we're gonna keep going.
Yeah, we're gonna roll with it. We're gonna roll with it.
So, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Alright, so let's jump into today's story. Today we're going to be talking about the most eat the rich topic ever, and it is talking about Tsar of Russia, Nikolai Alexandrovich Romanov. Finally got that name down after the fourth time of saying it.
I think you should give the caveat of this episode.
The communist arc? Is that what we're talking about?
The communist arc, but also... Why was this where has this episode been?
Oh, yes. Okay, so we've tried filming this episode so many times. It is absolutely ridiculous. Borderline embarrassing, actually.
Mm-hmm. This is our 14th episode.
Yes, and, you know, I don't know what to say about it. One day we tried filming for about, like, probably, like, 2 hours, and, like, each time, it was just me dying.
Or, I was in a college dorm on a Saturday night, and there were some wild, wild children.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, so it just didn't work out. It took us a while, but we're here now, talking about the last Tsar of Russia, Nicholas II. So, let's kind of talk about Nicholas. His end was, you know... Not what he probably envisioned in his life, but we'll get to that when we get to that. So, Nikolai was born near St. Petersburg on the 18th of May of 1868. He was the eldest son of Tsar Alexander III, and he succeeded his father in 1894. However, he had little experience with government. In the same year, Nicholas married Princess Alexandra of Hessian? I still can't say it.
Just say Hessian.
Of Hessian descent, so she was Germanic. They had 4 daughters and a son, Alexei, who suffered from a disease called hemophilia. Remember that. That is topical. Alexander was a very dominant personality in the relationship, and she encouraged the weaker Nicholas to have more autocratic tendencies. And remember, Nicholas was not experienced in government at all, so that was really interesting. He mistrusted most of his ministers and yet was incapable of carrying out like any task in ruling the vast Russian Empire alone. He was kind of seen as a really inept leader because he was never really trained up for it, and his father passed kind of like unexpectedly. So it was definitely crazy for him in that sense. So, determined that Russia should not be left out in the scramble for colonial possessions, Nicholas encouraged Russian expansion like, a lot. He specifically wanted to expand Russia out to, like, the Manchuria area, and this provoked a war with Japan in 1904. The resulting Russian defeat led to strikes and riots, because Russia was kind of known as a military power, in prior years. However, at this point, Japan wasn't completely industrialized yet. They were struggling, in fact. They were just starting to get to, like, that turn of the century where Matthew Perry goes off and is like, hey, Japan, knocks on the door,
whenever,
colonizes.
Whenever I hear Matthew Perry, I just think, like, I know he's a Commodore. I know it's just this boy on a ship in the Pacific, but I want to just know that, like, I just close my eyes and imagine a ship, and I hear...
Yeah, I just imagine, like, a big door. And
I clapped,
like,
many times.
Just, like, Chandler knocking at it. I think that's hilarious.
Chandler Bing.
That's what y'all should be envisioning right now. Yeah. So, yeah, this was a really, like, embarrassing defeat. And it led to one of the biggest strikes and riots in Russian history. And it's literally referred to as Bloody Sunday. This happened in 1905. The army in St. Petersburg shot at a crowd demanding radical reforms. Crazy. And opposition to the Tsar grew because, you know, people don't like being shot at, apparently. That's crazy. And Nicholas was forced to grant a constitution and establish a parliament named the Duma. So let's kind of unpack that. Blake, do you have any commentary that you would like to add to what we have so far?
Only that you're killing it, Catherine.
Thank you.
and I love it.
But yeah, that's kind of where we're at. So Nicholas' concessions were really, really limited at this point because he had, like, granted a constitution. Changes were made in voting laws to prevent the election of radicals, and the secret police continued to crush opposition even after the Duma was, like, settled in. But still, the Duma did have quite a lot of power. It especially gave the middle class a lot of power and a lot of increased voices and representation in the government. So the outbreak of World War I in 1914 temporarily strengthened the monarchy. As wars usually do, they consolidate power quite nicely. Mm-hmm. Russia allied to France and Britain against Austria-Hungary and Germany. And in mid-1950, Nicholas made the disastrous decision to take direct command of the Russian armies. Now, what do we know about Nicholas so far? Not a great military leader. From then on, every military failure was directly associated with him. He took one of the biggest L's in history, time and time and time again.
What a euphemism.
I know.
I feel like... History,
I'm killing it.
History teachers, they are just like, oh my god, she's so hip.
Yep.
She just said he took an L. We try to, like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like
we're
making
history, like, lit. You know, that's...
I don't know if kids still say that. I like how we're, like, real live youths. And we're like...
Youths.
Real live youths, and we're like... Is this how kids talk nowadays?
Yep, it indeed is. Okay, yeah. So with Nicholas off and away... Alexander took a more active role in government. Russia was suffering heavy losses because of the war, and there was really high inflation and severe food shortages at home. This compounded with the grinding poverty most Russians already endured, which is insane, by the way. I did a lot of, like, research on Russian agriculture because their, like, climate is so crazy.
Permafrost and...
Yep, their permafrost, like, all of it.
It is wild.
Yeah, like, how anybody does anything in Russia blows my mind, but okay. Just because of their, like, agriculture difficulties or whatever. So German-born Alexander soon became the focus of public discontent, as did her confidant, the mystique Rasputin.
Rasputin, the Russian queen. Okay.
Yeah, so Rasputin had been in court since 1905, and he had gained great influence through his apparent ability to treat Alexei's hemophilia, which was interesting because Alexei was the heir to the throne, and apparently he had, like, healing powers where he could solve hemophilia or, like, cure it or,
yeah,
like, make it better, treat it. I don't know.
I once watched this documentary, though, and it was about how he, like, Rasputin was just maybe a magical human.
He was just magical.
But he also, like, maybe just, like...
A con artist.
A con artist. People were like, you will find both. a lot of people hated him.
I mean, I'm not exactly shocked. Because, in December of 1916, Rasputin was murdered by a group of disaffected nobles. Then, in February of 1917... widespread popular demonstrations began in the capital, Petrograd, which had been renamed from St. Petersburg in 1914. Also, another fun fact about Russian history, anytime there's any type of power transition, they just rename St. Petersburg. Like, just, they're like, we don't like that name anymore. Rename it. I think it's so funny.
Oh, she passed away?
Aww.
Aww.
What are you going to do about that?
Yeah.
So Nicholas lost the support of the army and had absolutely no alternative other than to abdicate his position. A shaky provisional government was then established, and the Tsar and his family were held in various locations, eventually being imprisoned in, oh, that's a word I cannot say, so we're going to just say the Ural Mountains. In October of 1917, the Bolsheviks overthrew the provisional government, and following a harsh peace treaty with Germany in March of 1918, Russia descended into a civil war. Wow, isn't that topical?
Not during. Immediately after the war? Immediately after the Great War.
Yeah, well, during. Oh, well, no.
What's the time
after on this? 1918.
It's like... it's wrapping up, you know.
Yeah, it's about to end. On the 17th of July of 1918... anti-Bolsheviks approached Nicholas and his family, and they were executed. This was most certainly at the orders of Bolshevik leader, one Vladimir Lenin.
You love him.
Not too loud, not too loud. The anarchists may hear me.
Anyhow. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay. So, how is this topical to Eat the Rich? Well... according to Bloomberg, the richest person on the planet today is no longer Jeff Bezos. It's now Elon Musk, apparently.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
This is news to me.
Yeah, he's the richest person now.
I try not to pay attention to the wealthy.
Who's the richest? Right, out of sight, out of mind. No, I guess Jeff still is. I heard something about Elon becoming...
there's this new up-and-coming...
yeah, this new entrepreneur.
Named Elon.
You wouldn't know him. He's low key.
Ellen?
Elon.
OMG, I love Elon. Ellen.
yeah, he's very low key. He still wears, like, gray t-shirts and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways.
That name is so easy to pronounce. I bet he names his kid something practical as well.
Yeah, so true.
So true.
Yeah, classic name is always good. So let's just go with Jeff Bezos for now. Potato, potato. His fortune is estimated at $151 billion. However, that number is outdated. And during the pandemic, his net worth grew to the trillions. So, if you needed a fun fact for today, that's your fun fact. In the list of richest people in the early modern period, Tsar Nicholas II ranks in fourth with an estimated net worth of 250 to 300 billion based on the 2010 exchange rate.
Wow.
Yeah, that's insane. Since the Russian Orthodox Church canonized Nicholas II, he is also to be named the richest saint in history, which is paradoxical because
that's kind of funny.
The Bible actually... discourages and denounces rich people. Wealth. Well, no, they fully just denounce rich people. There's like a passage that's like, it's harder for a rich person to get into heaven than it is for a camel to like go through the eye of the needle or something like that, which was a really difficult valley back in the day. You know, back in the day.
Back in your youth.
So true. So it's like incredibly difficult for a rich person to get into heaven, fun fact. That was the story of Nicholas II, a little bit of the Bolshevik Revolution, and what happens when you materially eat the fucking rich.
Did they eat him?
I mean, no. Really missed opportunity. No, I'm kidding. No. I'm kidding. It was a joke.
Oh, no.
Maybe we'll have to cut that out.
Yeah, maybe so. You know what? No, this is an explicit podcast. You're like, right. Let's keep it up.
You're right.
Oh no, what if our sponsors drop us?
Great. great. Could they pick us up?
We lose our brand. We lose our brand deal on that one.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think, though, because I feel like, too, when you're just thinking about, like, rich and wealthy leaders, they never truly have the people's interest in mind.
Crazy how that happens. It's almost like when you work under a system that only values, like, profit incentive, they won't care about anything else but, get this, profits. I know, it's insane.
Or, like, I feel like just money does cover... I'm being really, like, just vague here, but, like, the corruption of money cannot be understated.
Yeah. Money is power.
Money is power.
Money is power.
Money is speech.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Money is speech. If you don't know what we're referring to, look up my least favorite Supreme Court case, Citizens United. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
On that
note.
Why
does Citizens United come up no matter what our topic is?
I think it's just because we both...
It's a mutual disdain for that case.
We both do absolutely hate that case. Like, yes. Absolutely, with every fiber of our being.
So true.
So true, dude. Anyways, this has been Eat the Rich Part 2.
Yeah, I'm very happy that you guys got to join us and talk a little bit about the fourth richest person in early modern history. Also, kind of a roadmap to how he was dethroned.
You know?
Literally.
How he was...
forced to abdicate his position.
How he was ousted from the seat of totalitarian political power.
Yeah, and how the Vanguard Party then took over.
Yeah, and I think we're going to end it there. Yes. Before we get...
really spicy.
Really spicy, exactly. So with that, thank you so much for listening. Tune in next time where we will have a really exciting and topical and timely installment of this podcast. Wink on that one. So yeah, thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.